again, everything we're doing here, yeah, it's to honor Father Capon, but, you know, he points us to Christ. He is special. We are talking about him. He's a candidate for sainthood because he's an authentic witness of the gospel, of how Christ lived, of how Christ sacrificed himself for us, for our sake. And that's exactly what Father Capon did. You know, he offered his life. He offered his life as a priest. And, you know, when he went into the military, he wrote to his bishop and said, when I was ordained, I was determined to spend myself for Christ. And I was determined to do that cheerfully, no matter what the circumstances were or how hard a life I would be asked to lead. And you fast forward, you know, obviously through a lot of time, a lot of the battles and everything, but to the time in the prison camp, and he lived that out. You know, he offered himself just as cheerfully, just as willingly as Christ did, and really truly lived out the maxim of Jesus that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole for our final holy conversation with none other than Scott Carter. And man, he comes today with the details around Father Capon's return home. He comes with these beautiful stories of American Airlines stepping in, and the military stepping in, and all the pieces that had to come together. They're going to make Father Capon's return home beautiful. I think you're going to be blessed by the conversation. You're going to be encouraged and inspired as always. And I just thank you for coming on, downloading the podcast, and entering the foxhole with us. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for Capon's men. We pray, Lord, for all those that are listening to the podcast today, that they may hear your voice, God, and they may see the beauty and the value of following you. I ask you, God, to just bless Scott for the work he's done for the cause of Father Capon, but more importantly, Lord, for his love for you. I ask all of these things. I ask in particular today for Father Capon to pray for us. I ask it through the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. Amen. Scott Carter, welcome back to the Foxhole, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
You are probably getting yourself packed and ready for a big trip, not a vacation to Hawaii, but an opportunity to go to Hawaii and represent the Diocese of Wichita. So I want to start right there with you. Tell our listeners what you're packing to go do.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible right now, trying to get a lot of things lined up, obviously, before being out of the office, because when we come back, we'll be hitting the ground running. But it's really an honor to be able to go to Hawaii with the Capon family, the Capon family, and with the Bishop of the Diocese of Wichita, Bishop Kemi, Father David Lee, our Vicar General, and another priest of the diocese, Father Wayne Schmid, who is a retired Army colonel, a chaplain, to be able to really receive the remains of Father Capon and accompany him back here to Wichita, which, you know, something that I kind of dreamed of, but never really counted on actually being able to do. So by the time this podcast airs, we'll be there in Hawaii and hopefully headed back shortly after. But just really excited to go down there to be able to visit the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, the DPAA, which is the agency that does this great work of identifying remains of fallen soldiers, both, you know, there that they have in their custody, but also the ones all over the world that are still missing. And to learn more about their work and see their facilities and just, again, the remarkable work and honor and respect that they have for the fallen, those who have, you know, served our country. And there, the remains will be handed over to Ray Capon, Father Emil's nephew, and eventually, you know, make our way back to Wichita. But when we're there, we're also going to be able to visit the National Cemetery of the Pacific, the Punch Bowl, where he's been buried for almost 70 years. See his name there in the Courts of the Missing, which now has a little rosette that Ray placed there earlier this summer because he's been identified. And then another cool thing that just an element of hospitality that the Catholic Church in Hawaii is hosting a mass with Father Capon's remains there at the Cathedral Basilica of Our Lady of Peace in Honolulu. Bishop Silva invited us to have this mass there. I think Father Wayne is going to preach. I think Bishop Kimmy's celebrating. So that their people, you know, can recognize this person who's been in their midst, unfortunately, unknown for so long, yet still has been there in Hawaii, who may one day be a future saint, for them to be able to pray with him and to give him an kind of an honorable aloha, a send-off on his way back to Wichita.
I think you said a lot in that, Scott, with the accompaniment of the great accompaniment saint, Father Emil Capon, who's not a saint yet. But, you know, I'm a little more free than you are to say those things out loud. I also am super impressed that you managed to pronounce his name several different ways to cover all the possibilities of how we would pronounce Father Capon's name. And I know there's a lot of folks listening that hear it different ways. And I appreciate that we're trying to be very sensitive to the family and also to those that know his name from I've heard it said many different ways.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Actually, that's a funny thing. And I mean, it's a continued topic. And honestly, I've come to believe that at both ways were right at various times in his life. So he grew up probably as a Capon and maybe was originally supposed to be Capon. And I think at some point he may have switched back to that. And so that kind of explains why here in Wichita, that's more Capon and elsewhere it's more Capon. So, you know, a lot of respect to the prisoners of war and those who served with him. And obviously, Ray, who's gone back to pronouncing his name Capon, but also recognizing that, well, there's a lot of people who grew up one way and learning that. So, yeah, it's, I think, an ongoing thing. We can always just call him Father Emil, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'll be doing this for a long time. Well, tell us, Scott, when you get back from Hawaii, I mean, I was not invited on that trip, and I'm okay with that. But I want to know, when you get back to Kansas, I know a lot of us are going to be heading toward Kansas, those that have been invited to be part of the process there. And I know it's on EWTN as well. Speak to those listening about how they can tune in, pay attention if they're not in Kansas, or maybe some opportunities even locally if you live in Kansas.
Yeah, well, I want to start, I guess, with the flight too, if I can, because American Airlines has a representative. His name's Randy Stillinger. He's a former military guy. He actually works part-time still in the Pentagon with their Office of Public Affairs, but he's American's liaison for families and the return of remains such as these. And he's been just incredible and lining things up for this trip. And obviously this is a much bigger or more, I don't know if I'd say more important, but just a much more acknowledged publicly transfer than most that they get. And so he's, you know, been willing to work with us to get all of us from the diocese going, as well as, a media team that we'll have for a documentary that we're filming so people can kind of view some of these elements along the way. But he's arranged actually for, it was the 777, the Boeing 777, that flew Pope Francis from Rome to, I think it was from Rome to America. Maybe it just flew him around while he was here to fly Father Capon's remains from Hawaii to Dallas. And at the time, the call sign for this plane was Shepherd One, while the Holy Father was on it. So the Holy Father sat in seat 1A, and in honor of both the Holy Father, the papacy, but also Father Capon, they're going to keep seat 1A open, which is really cool. And I think the other neat thing is, you know, people talk about being on one of these flights, and I've never been on one, but apparently they're going to put flyers out on the seats so that everybody knows, you know, who is riding with them and why some people are going to be getting off a little bit early. But I think, you know, as we stop in Dallas, there's going to be a small ceremony on the ramp, on the tarmac next to the plane before he loads into the plane to come to Wichita, so that the American Airlines people in Dallas can honor him. And then obviously when we arrive in Wichita, there'll be a ceremony as well. And some of the family will be there, as well as other, other people that have been involved in the cause. I believe one of the POWs and his family is hoping to be there as well to truly welcome him home, which is a long time coming, obviously. When he arrives, the first thing that I think everybody wanted to do was to truly provide him the opportunity to go home. We recognize that he'll be buried in Wichita, which isn't, you know, isn't his home. But he is going to spend a few days up in Pilsen at St. John Nepomucene Church, the church where he was baptized, where he received his first communion, at the church where he celebrated his first Mass and spent his first 3 years as a priest, to Lyon State, primarily for the community there. And, you know, just for them to spend some time with their beloved son and priest, and just more, you know, can't be more excited, I think, for that opportunity for the people there to welcome Father back. You know, and it'll be somewhat short-lived, obviously, but he'll be coming back to Wichita the following Monday, and will be there'll be an opportunity for the priest of the diocese to have a private Vespers with him, which I think is another very cool thing. You know, we often think of his hometown of Pilsen, but for all the priests here, you know, priests in general, but especially priests of the diocese, Father Capon was ordained a priest forever for the Diocese of Wichita. Even though he served with the military, he was a Diocese of Wichita priest. And so our priests very much think of him as a brother, although, you know, one to look up to and to pray to and ask for his help. But I'm excited for them to have that opportunity with their brother priest as well. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, it gets to the more public ceremonies that we're having. We'll have a vigil on Tuesday, September 28th at Hartman Arena, and then a funeral on Wednesday, the 29th. And that's open to the public. There may still be some seats available at capeandcomeshome.com. But I'm really excited just because there's so many people, both here in the Wichita area, but even traveling from outside, that obviously have grown to know and love Father Capon and want to spend time with him, to welcome him home, to pray with him, really for the first time, you know, in his presence that anyone's been able to. And so, again, just Father was not one to necessarily be with the in crowd. He was there where, you know, the ordinary people were, the ordinary soldiers. And so just, you know, to welcome all the rest of us, to pray with him, I think is really cool. And on top of that, I mean, there's a lot of people from like the military, the chief of chaplains will be there, as well as some members from the 1st Infantry Division up at Fort Riley, the 1st Cavalry Division, where he served with, in Korea. They're based out of Texas, coming up. And so, there's just a lot of people that I think are, know his story. You know, the Holy Spirit has been at work to spread his story far and wide. And so a lot of people there just kind of as representatives, I guess, for everybody to be able to welcome him back. But I guess you asked, you know, how can people watch? So obviously not everybody can be here in Wichita for those events, but they will be live streamed on the Diocese of Wichita YouTube channel. And then EWTN will be covering it as well. So both the vigil and the funeral Mass on the 28th and the 29th. So we can't be more excited about that either, because I think a lot of people are going to tune in and really appreciate what's going on with Father Capon.
Now, you mentioned the military, Scott, and I know there's a lot of military folks around the country who are very much connected to the story of Father Capon. So tell us, I know they're not just involved in the funeral. There's more, they have a bigger involvement in this. Can you talk a little bit to us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, so we're working with them. Obviously the military has some very great, rituals. I don't know if that's the right word, you know, but ways to honor those who have fallen. And, if you've ever seen a military funeral, it's very formal, and there's a lot of ways that they honor their deceased. If you've ever been to Arlington or seen pictures of it, most of the time there, they'll carry their casket out, not on a normal hearse, but on a horse-drawn caisson, like a wagon with riders on the horses. And when we were working with the military, we were wondering, hey, is that something like that possible? And there's not very many of those caissons available, but there's actually a team based out of San Antonio, Texas, that's going to be coming up to provide those horses and caisson because, you know, because they respect what Father Capon stood for, and especially being awarded the Medal of Honor, it's a big deal. There's not many people that are awarded that award, as we've heard in some of the other episodes. And so they recognize who this is, and they want to provide the utmost respect for this chaplain who served so faithfully. And so after the funeral mass, the hearse is going to carry him to downtown Wichita, but for just over half a mile, his remains will be carried on that horse-drawn caisson through the streets of Wichita. We'll have people lined up on the roads, some of our students as well, and he'll end up right in front of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception. As he's taken off the caisson, it'll be the 1st Cavalry Division, the 3-8 Cav Squad, which is the successor to the 3rd Battalion, who he served with, earned the Medal of Honor with at Unsan, Korea. They're going to be acting as pallbearers to take his remains off, and then they're going to be acting as the color guard and play taps and fire the 21-gun salute as he enters his new home in the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception there in Wichita. And I think it'll be a really powerful moment for everyone involved, and just, again, for the military to offer their respects to this Medal of Honor recipient, this chaplain who was just recently identified. And then from there, obviously, the more private ceremony with the family and the priests of the diocese to lay him in his new tomb under the very large crucifix in the cathedral on the left side there. And from there, people will eventually be able to come and visit and pray with him. Not quite later that day, but probably starting the next day, that Thursday, and as we go, we're hoping to get more details, out there as far as visit times and make it available, because again, I think it's not all about the big and flashy stuff. I think some of those most powerful moments will come as people are kneeling there in front of his tomb and just one-on-one with him and with the Lord. And that's probably above everything that we're doing. This is the thing that I was first most excited about. And I think, the lasting thing that I'll be most excited about is we'll finally have a place where people can truly meet him on a deeper level.
Now that's going to be beautiful. That was going to be my next question, and you sort of answered it, Scott, but folks that can't be there, maybe in September, they have work scheduling conflicts with being there. They maybe want to come through Wichita in October, November, into the summer as they're doing family trips. How do you foresee that being? Is this going to be a constantly during the day kind of place where folks can visit? Is there going to be some space for them to get information about Father Capon? I think you kind of alluded to that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. So both on our website, frcapon.org, and then the Wichita Cathedral website, we'll have some more information up hopefully soon as far as visit times. It's a little tricky because unfortunately, it's a busy place when it comes to weddings and quinceañeras and other things on the weekends, but we are going to try and make it as accessible as possible, and hopefully have some volunteers to help welcome people and, eventually get tours scheduled too for groups and other people who want to learn more about him. Pilsen's still going to be a place where people can visit and tour as well, his hometown. It's about an hour 15 away, so it's possible to do both in a day. More information about that on the website. But we just really want to try and make it as accessible as possible. We'll also, working around the schedule of the parish, but during the week they've got a noon mass, which is a good time to both pray and then hopefully have a little bit of time visiting with him afterwards too, so that's pretty cool. And another thing you mentioned, people who can't be there, it kind of made me think, or it reminds me of a couple of things I wanted to share just to look out for when it comes to the funeral mass too. Because obviously the mass is going to be at Hartman Arena, which is about 6,000 people, I think. And it's kind of hard to make an arena look like a sacred space, right? Ideally, we would be having this mass in a church, but it's just not large enough to accommodate the number of people that want to come. But behind on the stage and, behind the altar, behind the casket, up on the wall, normally in a church, oftentimes there'll be a crucifix there, right? Well, we didn't really have a crucifix big enough for this arena, but the team came up with the idea of, hey, That crucifix that Jerry Fink carved in Father Capon's honor in the prison camp is so iconic. It's such a great way that these POWs memorialize their chaplain. Why don't we get an image of it and put it up, you know, on the screen, on the wall behind the altar? And that can be kind of, you know, the focal point of this whole ceremony. You know, and obviously, like, again, everything we're doing here, yeah, it's to honor Father Capon, but, you know, he points us to Christ. He is special. We are talking about him. He's a candidate for sainthood because he's an authentic witness of the gospel, of how Christ lived, of how Christ sacrificed himself for us, for our sake. And that's exactly what Father Capon did. You know, he offered his life. He offered his life as a priest. And, you know, when he went into the military, he wrote to his bishop and said, when I was ordained, I was determined to spend myself for Christ. And I was determined to do that cheerfully, no matter what the circumstances were or how hard a life I would be asked to lead. And you fast forward, you know, obviously through a lot of time, a lot of the battles and everything, but to the time in the prison camp, and he lived that out. You know, he offered himself just as cheerfully, just as willingly as Christ did. And really, truly lived out the maxim of Jesus that there's no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. And so, you know, there's no greater honor that the POWs could come up with than to carve a crucifix, because to them, he was Jesus to them. Even the Korean people call him the Jesus of the Korean War, which I find fascinating. So to have that, I think, crucifix there as a reminder of what this is all about is a fantastic backdrop. Now, a couple other things too at the Mass that I'm really excited about. One of the other, again, the team that's working on this thought, hey, Pilsen has this beautiful gold-plated processional cross, and it's a cross that Father Capon used when he was an altar server there growing up. It's also the cross that his brother Eugene carried at the beginning of the procession for his first Mass there in Pilsen. And so we've asked the parish, and they've been happy to provide this processional cross for us to use for the procession and at the funeral. So if you see, you're watching on TV or there in person, and you see this, you know, gold-plated processional cross, that's not just any cross. That's a cross that Father Capon and his brother Eugene both carried when they were alive. And then the paten and the chalice that Bishop will use at the Mass belong to Father Capon. They're ones that he celebrated Mass with. And so just very fitting to have them as well. And then finally, something that you won't be able to see, but inside the coffin, I'm told by Ray that the military actually provides a uniform as well as replicas of all the medals that he earned in his person. And I haven't found out yet. You know, oftentimes as priests, they're buried in chasubles. I haven't found out yet if something like that is going to happen as well. But I think that there will probably be an element of his priesthood included in the casket as well.
Friends, that is a lot of stuff to be on the lookout for, but that's important, right? We're Catholic, and there's all these sights and sounds of our Catholic faith that I think are so important. Scott, I want to switch gears. We don't have a ton of time left, and I know folks are going to be watching online or watching on EWTN or perhaps in person, and I think everyone has a different feeling when it comes to Father Capon and maybe this idea of coming home. And I know you have lived in his story for a big chunk of your life. I would even say it's probably been the one of the more professional. I think maybe it's the only like full-time position you've had outside of maybe I think you may have had some other positions as well, but for sure, it's a big chunk of your life. So my question for you kind of as a close today, as we get closer to talking a little bit about what it means to come home, is what does it mean for you to be part of this? And what does it mean for you personally that Father Capon is now across the parking lot from where you work, his actual body?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. You know, it's not the only job I've had, and you know, I had different rewarding jobs, but you know, this one is very rewarding, and obviously, right now, just so blessed to be here at this time. And Father Capon has been a big part of my life. You know, it comes and goes sometimes. I lose track of it too, just like anybody, right? You can go days where you're just kind of doing the work and not thinking of him or not talking to him. Just kind of like sometimes you can fall in the trap, I guess, with our Lord if you're not careful. But yeah, I think just to have him present, and I'm actually going to be moving over part time to the cathedral. I don't know if you knew that, but to help out over there at least for now. So to be in the same building, is going to be pretty incredible. But I guess a few thoughts come to mind. One of them is something that Ray said, and I think he said it when we interviewed him shortly after, we found out this news, and I think it was in there. But he said, for them and the family, they kind of view it not as sort of a closure, but just another step in the process, right? And I think that's so true, because I think his coming home is super important and super big. And so many people have said, why now? God must have a reason. We may not know it, but there's some reason for this, right? But it's not the end. Our goal all along has been working for his sainthood, but even that's not quite the end, right? I mean, the goal is to get all of us to be saints as well. And that's why Capon's Men exists. That's why we do what we do, why we spend the time and effort and even money to share his story, is because it seems to inspire people, and the Holy Spirit seems to use his story. And so, yeah, just to have a physical place for people to pray, I think, is going to be more powerful than a lot of people think. Obviously, we can talk to him anywhere, but just, I don't know, to have that opportunity is something special. And curious to see, how that affects people, but and what good may come from it, what miracles may come from it. There's also two things that I think he said that have really been resounding in my mind ever since I found out this news. Again, super excited that he's coming home, but in a sense, he's already been home, because one of his last words is, if you've gone through the virtue series, you know this. Don't worry about me. I'm going where I always wanted to go. And when I get there, I'll say a prayer for all of you. I mean, again, I think that's kind of evidence that he's a saint in heaven, because I think most of us, if we were honest, like, we wouldn't necessarily say that. We wouldn't have the confidence to say that. And he wasn't saying that because he was proud, but just because he trusted in the Lord and the Lord's promises. That's the way he lived his life. And he just had that faith, right? And that hope. And so I think, that's a good reminder too, that, again, heaven is a goal for all of us. But then the other thing is that he told, I can't remember who it was, which one of the POWs, but he said, "Tell my bishop that I died a happy death." And to me, I think one of the most remarkable things, that is one of the most remarkable things, because we think about, like, how these guys died in the prisoner war camp. The conditions there is the farthest thing from a happy life, the farthest thing from a happy death, you would think. But again, Father, he was something special, and he was determined to spend himself to truly give his life for those around him, and he did it primarily in small little ways, but in the end, it ended up to the biggest way, and offering his life. And he found, as Christ tells us, that there's a joy there from that. And I think that's just, again, a reminder, I guess, of kind of his final parting message, that even with his remains coming home, he's still pointing us to something higher in heaven, something that we ought to seek, and some, the mysterious truth of the gospel, that it's in giving of our life that we find it, and in serving others that we find true happiness, that we meet our Lord. And I think his remains here in Wichita will be a constant reminder of that, and who knows, maybe we'll get a dedicated shrine someday if his cause progresses. We're still obviously praying and working over in Rome, and I think our Lord has given us a good boost here and a good reminder that, hey, we shouldn't give up. We keep that same spirit that Father Capon had. Keep up the prayers, and eventually we'll get some good progress over there as well, and hopefully before too long be celebrating, in a few years, a beatification or something, and then we can have a yearly feast day and celebrate a mass with them and all that sort of stuff. So maybe welcome more people back after this pandemic's over.
Amen to that. Well, Scott, before you know the drill here, we're going to have you pray us off. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you, you've been the brainchild behind this Welcome Home series. And I just didn't know if there was any parting words you'd have for men who've been tuning in and hearing people from Arlington Cemetery and folks who've just been involved intimately in the process of bringing Father Capon home. Any parting words on that? And then I'll just invite you, as soon as you're done with that, you know what I'm going to say, and that is we need to pray us off. So yeah. I'm going to let you close down with those two things.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just super grateful for everybody that's been on. If you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to them. I mean, Father Matt Polakowski and the Ordeal of Chaplain Capon, incredible. Share that with everybody. Like, that needs to get out there to tell his story. And there's not many better ways to share his story than that. So truly grateful. But I think it's just a snapshot of how Father Capon has impacted so many different people. And I think that's what's cool about it is, you know, you may not connect with everybody there, but he touches so many lives in so many different ways. I mean, we've got an artist, we've got a priest of the Diocese of Wichita. We've got a guy whose son was healed by Father Capon. We've got a chaplain who was a colonel and spent his life in the chaplain corps. We've got Jason, who is the head of Capon's men. We've got an army historian. And hopefully, again, we'll get to talk to Ray here soon, maybe after all these events, to hear, you know, his perspective as a family. But I think it's just so amazing, again, the work of the Holy Spirit in using this simple, humble farm boy and priest to spread the word of Christ and inspire people. So let's all continue to, you know, continue to follow his example and share his story as much as possible. So I'm going to end with the prayer for sainthood because, you know, it's something that I try and pray every day and encourage other people to do as well. And I think it's just a beautiful prayer. And yeah, so we'll end there. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, in the midst of the folly of war, your servant, Chaplain Emil Capon, spent himself in total service to you on the battlefields and in the prison camps of Korea until his death at the hands of his captors. We now ask you, Lord Jesus, if it be your will, to make known to all the world the holiness of Chaplain Capon and the glory of his complete sacrifice for you by signs of miracles and peace. In your name, Lord, we ask, for you are the source of peace, the strength of our service to others, and our final hope. Amen. Chaplain Capon, pray for us.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.